V'haya ki savo el ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha nachala virishta v'yashavta ba. Dot. Hashkifa mima'on kachecha min hashamayim uvarech esamecha es Yisrael V'yeis ho'adama asher nasata lanu kasher nishbata lavoseinu eretz zavas cholav udvash.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Come right over. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your editor, Phil Chernofsky, and this edition is for Parshat Ki Tavo. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 19th day of Elul, 5772, corresponding to September 6th. Not only is this Shabbat Ki Tavo, but this Motzoi Shabbat is first Slichot for Ashkenazim. Let me explain. Sfaradim, Edot Mizrach, Jews from those communities, have been saying Slichot the entire month of Elul from the day after Rosh Chodesh, from the second day of the month. And they say it throughout the month. Ashkenazim have a custom of beginning on the Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night, or early Sunday morning, right before Rosh Hashanah, unless Rosh Hashanah falls on a Monday, Tuesday, as it does this year, or a Tuesday, Wednesday, in which case they pull it back a further week. This is in order to get the minimum of 4 days of saying Slichot, until Rosh Hashanah. The concept of 4 days has to do with the examination of a sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash. It also is a fill-in for the 4 days during the 10 days of penitence that you can't fast, namely the Shabbat Shuva, an Erev Yom Kippur, and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Various reasons for starting Dafka on a Motzoi Shabbat, and the first Slichot are by far the most well-attended of all Slichot services. That's the one that usually will have a chazan or a fancy bal tefillah, where the rest of the Slichot through Yom Kippur are kind of pro forma, just do it and you come either at midnight or early in the morning before davening, and they do the Slichot. But there is a fanfare for the first Slichot, which is this Motzoi Shabbat. Before we continue, Tehillim Kuflamed, Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai miya amod, ki imcha hasilicha lama'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi, velidvoro hochalti. Nafshi ladonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'meafela l'ora, u'mishibud l'gu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. This recording is going to be without extra music, both for time reasons and mood reasons. My aunt, Phyllis age 92. Yesterday was her birthday, and she passed away. And don't want to say too much more about that, but as soon as I finish recording, I'm on my way to the funeral. And she was a very special person and a special aunt. So my wishes of comfort and prayers of comfort to her sons, Alan and Michael, and to the families, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She was a fine, fine lady. And she probably would be insulted if she heard me say that. Okay. Where was I? I want to make a comment about the opening of the show. I've been for quite a while now reading the first verse of the weekly Sedra, and this week is a special one for me. I'll tell you why in a moment. I decided to add another very special pasuk in the Parsha because I would like to speak about it in a little while, and I think I'll be doing that now regularly, reading the first pasuk and then some other pasuk, either that I'll speak about or that has some special significance or inspiration in the Parsha. So now for the opening verse. First, let me give you my personal connection. Today is Thursday. Yesterday was Wednesday. The day before was the 17th of Elul. Next week sometime, or a little bit after, the following Sunday, is the 16th of September. Those three dates, 17th of Elul, 16th of September, and Wednesday, between Parshat Ki Teitzeh and Ki Tavoh, 31 years ago, coincided on the day that I and my family came on Aliyah. So we're celebrating 31 years, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, and the special significance besides the dates was specifically Wednesday, which in Yiddish is Mittwoch, middle of the week, between Ki Teitzeh, when you go out from the United States or wherever, and Ki Tavoh, when you come El Haaretz, to the land of Israel. So I found that very special for me personally. I remember getting an aliyah in my shul in Kew Gardens Hills on Parshat Ki Teitzeh to say goodbye, and a welcoming aliyah when I arrived in shul on the following Shabbat of Ki Tavoh. So that's my connection. But the Parsha is, it will be when you enter the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance and you possess it and dwell in it. What follows is, Vilakachta me'reshit kol pri ha'adama, you will take the first fruits of the ground, meaning of the seven species, and not all of them necessarily, whatever you grow, and bring them as bikurim. Now this is a follow-up mitzvah to the original mitzvah of bringing the first fruits. Here it says, when you bring the first fruits, you have an additional mitzvah to make a declaration, a recitation. And what you have back in Parshat Mishpatim is the command of Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, the first fruits of the ground you shall bring to the house of your God, meaning the Beit HaMikdash. And that's the mitzvah of Bikurim, and here's the mitzvah of the declaration of the Bikurim bringer. The bulk of what he says is well known to us from the Pesach Haggadah. In fact, at a shiur the other day, I said, where are these words from? And I picked up a chumash to Parshat Ki Tavoh, and I read Arami Oved Aviv Vayered Mitzrayimah, and everybody said, from the Haggadah. I said, no, they're from here. The chumash, Parshat Ki Tavoh, Sefer Devarim, the editors of the Haggadah, actually the Mishnah, tells us to take that portion from Parshat Ki Tavoh, from the declaration of the Bikurim bringer, and use it as the basis of telling the story of the Exodus at the Seder table. Seder night, we have a mitzvah, v'higadta levincha bayom hahu lemor, you shall tell your children the story of the Exodus, and the Torah Sheba'al Peh, in the form of the Mishnah, tells us to use these four verses, which are Arami Oved Avi, let's see how they translate it here, and Aramean tried to destroy my forefather. Usually that's interpreted as Laban's attempt to vanquish Yaakov. He, Yaakov, descended to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. That's the first verse. That's actually part of the first verse. Then the Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us and placed hard work upon us. Next pasuk. Then we cried out to Hashem, the God of our forefathers, and Hashem heard our voice and saw our affliction, our travail, and our oppression. Fourth verse. Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, with great awesomeness, with signs, and with wonders. That's how the passage in the Haggadah ends. It is analyzed by other psukim and other comments on the wording of these verses, but the core of telling over the story is Yaakov Avinu, Jacob our father, went down to Egypt. There the people, the family, grew into a multitude, a large nation, or pre-nation. The Egyptians oppressed us. We called out to God, and he took us out of Egypt. That is a brief summary of the story of the Exodus, perfect as an outline for the Seder night. You have time to elaborate, go for it. But some people do that piece of the Haggadah in 20 minutes, and some do it in 45, and some an hour and a half or 3 hours. So that's the extra. Kol hamar belisaper biyetziat Mitzrayim, hareze meshubach. But the core comes from the declaration of the Bikurim bringer. Now this mitzvah is different, or makes Bikurim different from most other mitzvot. Most other mitzvot, you're commanded to do something, so you do it. But you're not usually commanded to make a declaration about it. You, even on similar kinds of mitzvot, you give truma. So the farmer or landowner has a harvest of wheat. He takes about 2% off, and he gives it to a kohen. And he says to the kohen, this is truma. And the Kohen takes it and thanks him, and when he eats from it, he makes a bracha on it, whatever. But here, you have to bring Bikurim, and you have to make a declaration. And that declaration includes a four-verse brief summary of our going down into Egypt, what happened there, and our coming out. But then the Bikurim bringer continues. And he says, Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and you, God, brought us to this place, Vayiten lanu et haaretz hazot, and gave us this land, Eretz zavat chalav udavash, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the ground that you have given me, O Hashem, and you shall lay it before Hashem, says the Torah, your God, meaning at the side of the Mizbeach, outside the temple, and you shall prostrate yourself before Hashem, your God. Then the Torah makes the following command. I put the word command in quotes because it's not counted as one of the 613 mitzvot, but it is no less an imperative, but a very special one. V'samachta b'chol hatov. And you shall rejoice, you shall be happy, you shall be glad with all the goodness that Hashem your God has given you and your household, you and the Levite and the proselyte who are in your midst. V'samachta b'chol hatov means be happy with what you have. Now this is a very poignant command in light of something we read later in Parshat Ki Tavoh, in the very sad, depressing, devastating portion known as the Tochacha. Most of the Tochacha talks about what happens if we don't listen to the voice of God, to observe and to do His mitzvot and His ordinances that we are being commanded, then a whole list of curses will rain down upon the people. Unfortunately, this is not just a threat, but it's a prophecy, and sadly enough, it's a prophecy that has been fulfilled more than once. In the Tochacha, in addition to all of the punishments that are attributed to the Jewish people turning away from God, comes the following statement. Tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav merov kol. In English, because you did not serve Hashem your God amid gladness and goodness of heart with everything, when everything was abundant. Ponder this. Contrast these two verses. The Bikurim bringer represents the Jew in the best case scenario in Eretz Yisrael. He lives in Israel, he observes the mitzvot, he has a bountiful crop, and he takes the first fruits from among the seven species and brings them with his neighbors and his fellow citizens in pomp and ceremony on a trip to Yerushalayim, and then it's his turn with this basket on his shoulder to place it before the Mizbeach. It becomes a gift to the Kohen, and he makes this wonderful declaration, thank you, God, for everything that I have, for taking us out of Egypt and bringing us to this wonderful land flowing with milk and honey. And I gladly, thrilled and delighted to give you these first fruits, the gift to the Kohen. And the Torah says, V'samachta b'chol hatov. Be happy about it. Don't bring Bikurim grudgingly. Don't just be happy that you are a member of the Jewish people living in the land of Israel with a Beit HaMikdash and with mitzvot and Torah. And that's something to be very, very thankful for and happy for. In the middle of the Tochacha, in addition to, and if it'll come to pass that you will not hearken to my voice, and you will not keep the mitzvot, and you will reject me, and you will worship idols, etc., etc., it adds in the middle there, Tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav, you were not thrilled and delighted to serve God. Or you served God, and it wasn't out of joy, it was perhaps out of obligation, or this is the way you were brought up, but where was the simcha? Where was the joy? And what did the pasuk say? Not just you didn't serve God b'simcha when things were bad, merov kol, you had everything. You had a wonderful life. And you didn't serve God b'simcha. That is part of this admonition. And the contrast is chilling. V'samachta b'chol hatov. And then the prophecy of it'll come to pass. Doesn't have to, but it might come to pass. And unfortunately it did. That sometimes you won't listen to God, and you won't keep the mitzvot, and you won't keep the Torah, and you'll do idolatry. But even, you could add it like that, even when you do keep the mitzvot, it wasn't out of joy. This is something that a Jew has to strive for. A Jew has to be happy to be Jewish. I know that sounds trite. There's even t-shirts that say that. But part of, I don't know, there's so many different ways that are flooding my mind to say this. It's, what do you want from me? You want me to do things? I do them. You don't want me to do things? I don't do them. No, I want more. God wants more from us. He wants us to rejoice in what we are and what we have. Now, you could add a lot of things to this. Doesn't have to be that you have everything, because Ezehu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko, who's a wealthy person, one who is happy with his lot, and that could mean less than perfect and less than ideal and less than everything. But here the Torah was criticizing or warning us against not serving God besimcha merov kol, because you have everything. And then you don't need him, you don't have to pray to him, and you don't have to enjoy doing mitzvot. I don't know if that's the best way of explaining it, but I'm hoping that you're getting something out of this. It's a, to me, a very, very powerful, like it just jumps at you in the middle of the tochacha. Yes, of course I understand avodah zarah, idolatry, and I understand turning your back on God, and I understand why God would be upset and angry when we reject his mitzvot and don't keep them. But here, tachat asher lo avadta at Hashem Elokecha b'simcha, you didn't serve God with joy. There's an interesting twist on that. It's attributed to, I think, the Kotzker Rebbe. He said, tachat asher lo avadta at Hashem Elokecha, because you didn't serve God, and that brought you joy. Follow this. The regular reading, tachat asher lo avadta at Hashem Elokecha b'simcha, you didn't serve God with joy. Meaning you served him, but you weren't joyous. Here, the twist. You didn't serve God, and that was b'simcha. And that's an extra condemnation of you didn't keep mitzvot, and you are happy about that. And that's something to think of also. At this point, I usually say, hold that thought, but now you don't have to. You have to just percolate it, think about it, ponder it, because in the second half, I will have another aspect of the Parsha to discuss. In the meantime, we'll be right back. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Ki Tavo. And as I mentioned before the midpoint, I want to take a different angle from the Parsha. Specifically that second verse that I read at the opening of the show. Let me give you the background here. There is, after the Bikurim portion, the portion of Vidui Ma'asrot. Without getting into all the details, a person can have produce that doesn't belong to him or that needs special treatment. When a person takes truma, it's kodesh, sacred, has to be given to a kohen. So that's two things. It's holy, and he owes it to a kohen. And when he takes ma'aser, it belongs to a levi. And when he takes ma'aser oni, he has to give it to poor people. And when he takes ma'aser sheni, it has kedusha, it has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim. And if not, it has to be redeemed. And there are various other things that a person can have in his house that he needs to do things with. So he does them. And there is a twice in 7 year declaration that a person can make, is commanded to make, but can make it, because if he can't say the truth, then he doesn't do it. And that is, Biarti et hakodesh min habayit, I have taken all the sacred things out of my house, and I have done all that I was supposed to do, and I haven't violated anything. And that basically is the statement called Vidui Ma'aser. What I want to do is look at the verses and filter out or pick out phrases that, even if in context, they belong to the specific details of Vidui Maaser, we can apply them in the spirit of this portion to all Jewish life. And we should. I'm not saying this is what it means. I'm saying this is what you derive from here. This is what you get. The details. Ki techalel aseret maaser tevuatcha bashana hashlishit shnat maaser. Dot. Okay. V'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. You say before God. Now I'm skipping the specifics to go to the general statement. You say before God, I have done kechol mitzvatcha asher tzivitani, all of the mitzvot that you have commanded me. Lo avarti mi mitzvotecha, I have not violated your commandments. Velo shachachti, and I have not forgotten to do the things I have to do. It gets specific again. Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, v'lo viarti mimenu b'tamei, v'lo natati mimenu l'meit. Pass over those at the moment. Shamati, I have listened, b'kol Hashem Elokai, to the voice of God, asiti kechol asher tzivitani. There is a concept in Talmudic literature that deals with prat and klal. Prat is a detail, and klal is the general rule. What I'm doing here is something that I'm doing without permission. In other words, I didn't find this any place, and I'm not suggesting that this is the accurate rendering of the portion. But I am suggesting that the wording of the Torah here can be seen in general terms, even if this specific context had to do with Maaser Oni or Maaser Sheni or whatever. Because of those phrases, Asiti Kechol Asher Tzivitani, I did everything that you commanded, I followed you, I listened to you. What comes next is that verse that I read before, and it's a result of being able to make these statements in all honesty. Hashkifa, gaze down from your holy abode, from the heavens, and bless your people, Israel, and the ground that you gave us, as you swore to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. I find, and it's not just me that finds this, there's a long-standing custom that the Baal Koreh, when he reads the word Hashkifa, he raises his voice, because we are doing something quite unusual here. The Torah is filled with examples where we are told, if you do this, then good things will happen, and if you keep the mitzvot, then things will be good. And if you don't, then things will be bad. That's a kind of deal that's made with us over and over again in the Torah. It's in the Shema that we say every day. It's in the Tochacha in big form. It's in Ha'azinu in poetic form. It's in Nitzavim. It's in many different places. And here is an example where a Jew stands up and says, God, listen to what I'm saying. You asked me to do things, and I've done them. You've commanded me mitzvot, and I have fulfilled them. You have given me prohibitions, and I have scrupulously avoided violation. So now I say to you, look down from your heavenly abode, that's a figurative term, and bless the Jewish people and the land of Israel, that you have given to the Jewish people a land flowing with milk and honey. It's as if there are many, many places in the Torah where there's a deal that God is making with us. And here is where we are commanded to state, but only if it's true, that we have kept the good side of the deal. And now we say to God, remember. See, we're not reminding him about the threats. We're not saying we haven't really kept the mitzvot, so do your worst. We are saying we have kept your mitzvot, do your best. I guess what we're really saying is, first of all, halavai, we should be able to say this. We should be able to stand up before God and make this kind of clear, crisp, honest statement that we have done everything that he has asked us to do. And, if we add from what we said before, we have done it, besimcha. If we can say to God, we have kept Shabbat scrupulously and have been thrilled and delighted to do it. We keep kosher and we are happy about it. We daven, we make brachot, we avoid gossip, we are nice to each other, we are Torah observant between man and God and between a person and his fellow. Then we can turn to God and say, give us those blessings that you have promised us if we keep your Torah. That is the greater goal here. Now, I am cutting this short because I have to go to the funeral. I will probably not have time to finish this up. So, whether you're listening on OU Radio or on the Torah Tidbits website, this is what you get. And if you are listening on Arut Sheva, I'm going to ask them to fill out the rest of the time with music. And I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a meaningful Slichot, and Lehishtameah.